I receive a lot of emails from you guys asking me to talk about graph databases in general. And while I never have worked with a graph database, I know how a database internally works. And I have an idea of the value of a graph database and how you can effectively build a graph database, not just an actual graph database, but a use case that uses graph. Things like social network, you know, networking in general, electric network, gas pipe, stuff like that, where you need nodes to be connected to each other. So in this video, I'd like to kind of give my opinion about graph databases and how you can effectively build one by just understanding the building block of an actual database. We start from there and we build up. Let's jump into it. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And I actually recorded this video in a very crowded place, and it sounded well in my ears when I used the AirPods Pro. But when I actually posted the video from my phone, it actually, you guys like yelled at me. It turned out to be terrible audio-wise, so almost not audible. So here is it again, hopefully clearer. Before we really talk about graph databases, we really need to talk about what is a database. The understanding of really what qualifies as a database is the critical part. A database is a software that persists data to disk and reads data from disk in order to even pull certain information or search for a specific item, right, from disk. And this is what it boils down to. The constraints that the database has to oblige by is the I/O. The fewer the I/O you make to disk, the faster your query becomes. And this is the limitation that we run into. So if I make an I/O from disk, I get a block of data. And if what I'm looking for is exactly in that block, then I have won. If I find myself looking for one thing and as a side effect, I'm issuing many, many, many I/Os through the entire disk to look for this thing, then the query will take longer amount of time to finish. This also applies to writing, right? If I write a single value and I wanted to persist that, the amplification as a side effect of what the database does as a system processes, as a overhead, you know, maintenance, storage, this amplification, right? You know, updating index structures, stuff like that. The larger the amount of I/O that my write result to, the slower the write becomes. Okay, so if I can write, if my write corresponds to a single small thing, then I have effectively optimized my writes. And this is really what it boils down to when it comes to databases. Now, if we zoom out a little bit, and I am in the database itself, I can play different kind of games, right? Because I can have to search for something, I not only rely on the actual data stored in disk, but I can build other data structures that help me pinpoint where the data exactly is. And these are called mostly indexes. So the index is just like an actual index, right? You find it in the secretary's office, where if you want to find a company by that starts with the letter Z, you can jump to the section where the companies are Z's and then search only the Z's, right? Or Z's if you're from the UK, right? So that's effectively why it's optimal to use these external data structures, right? Because it helps you pinpoint, oh, I just only need to search this portion instead of searching these all these other things. This results in fewer IOs. Fewer IOs means faster query, and everybody wants faster results, obviously. Like, this is the goal. Once you understand this thing, now we need to talk about the storage engine, right? And this is where the game is being played, where the classic relational databases store things in tables, rows, and columns. That's the classic things. And this was a general purpose design where, hey, anything you have, just store it in a table. And what does it mean, really? A table, what does it look like? So let's take a table called employees. And you have an ID field, and a name field, and a salary field, and date of birth, and. So you can design a database to store these values in a consequent manner so that every row is just following the other row. So I employee ID number one, his name is Hussein, and his salary is blah, 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 and he was born in blah, 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 and these are just a number of bytes, and then the second employee just comes exactly after it. Now employee number two, his name is Adam, blah, 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 blah. And then you have a string of bits, right? So think about this. This is called a row store. You're storing per row. So if I have an IO, if I do one single IO, not only I'm going to get one row, but I'm going to get multiple rows from this single read, right? And logically, if you think about it, how can I fit many rows in a single IO? Well, you make the rows smaller. If your table doesn't have many columns, right? Or doesn't have like long. So if you have values like strings and long strings, if the database decides to store the string in line, by in line, I mean in the row itself, then the row becomes so large. That means if I have a single IO, I get very few rows because the row cannot fit in an entire page. This is how databases read things in logical pages. So, and by the way, this is not entirely correct when it comes to strings. Like, Postgres, for example, doesn't really store, like if you have like a whole document of a single string, right? It doesn't really store it in line row. It stores it compresses it in an outside table and then points to it in the row, right? But that's the logical thing, right? So now, if you think about it, so this use case is pretty good if you're like searching, you're displaying all the data, right? Hey, I want to display all the rows, right? In a UI, So you want to do one IO, and the more rows you have, the better, right? And guess what? This IO is going to give you all the rows, the row, and all its columns in that particular case, because that's how you store it, right? So that's how it's optimized to, right? So some other people decide, it's like, okay, this really sucks for other use cases. See, when it comes to use cases, everything comes back to use cases. So for that particular scenario, if you have another use case to, like, I don't know, sum all the salaries, then this particular use case is actually not very optimized. Why? Because a single IO, yeah, is going to give you X amount of rows, but you really just need the salary from the row, right? So if you do that, then you're pulling the ID, you're pulling the name, you're pulling all that stuff unnecessarily, and you just need the salary, right? So people thought about, okay, what if I actually store the table column first, and the columnar databases was burned? So we have the row-based databases, we have the columnar databases, or column stores, they call them, where, hey, store the columns, right? So it's column by column by column by column. So ID, let's say, store the ID field, store all the rows, all the values in the table for this ID. So ID 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, blah, 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 all of them. And then store the names, Hussein, Adam, Rec, blah, 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 blah. And then store the salaries next to each other. Salaries, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, blah, 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 blah. So, and now you have a clear pointer of where the columns start. So now if you want to do a sum, you just go to the exact page where the salaries column start, and then do an IO. And boy, this is optimized, because a single IO will only give you salaries. So a single IO will give you so much salaries compared to the row store, where you, a single IO will gonna give you junk that you don't need. And even if you do select salaries from a table, if it's a row store, then still the IO is gonna pull everything and then only pull what you asked for. There are some optimizations the database does, like it doesn't have to hydrate the data structures and stuff like that, but still. So that's how people think, right? I know we didn't jump into the graph databases yet, but we have row store, column store, document, similar thing. Like, I don't really need to store rows, row store, column store. So they build up their own binary data structure, right? And this is how they're going to store the data on disk, right? So you optimize the storage engine based on exactly what you want to do. And now, while I don't know the internals of a graph database like Neo4j or ArangoDB, whatever they are called, think about logically. What is a graph database? A graph database is a graph use case is when I have a single node, I want to find all its children or all its neighbors, right? And there are many ways to search for a specific thing in a graph, right? You can do a breadth first, where you say, okay, node, give me all your children, right? And then for every node, give me all your children. For every node, give me all your children. That's a breadth first, right? That's a way to search. And the other approach is the depth first, where, okay, give me your children and go to your child. No, don't give me the second child. Go to your child and give me its child. And go to your child and give me its child. So you're going depth first, and then you go back forth. And there's pros and cons. There is no right way. It depends on what you're trying to find. And based on that, you can think, Hussein, why do I need a database? I can build a graph use case, social media, using a relational model. Of course you can. You can definitely do it. but will it be optimized for the search? Because think about it. If you want to, like Facebook, right? I want to find all my friends, right? What does that mean, all my friends? You can store them in a table and say, okay, this is my friend. One is a friend of two. One is a friend of three. One is a friend of four. One is a friend of five. So this is how you store it, right? This is one way. You build a table and then you build a mapping effectively, right? And then when you do that, you can store this even as a column store or a row store. But a single IO will give you, if you think about it, repeated stuff. Right, because it's going to give you one and it's going to give you the value, and then another one, which is you, and then the value, 1, 3. So there is some duplication. So you're wasting precious bits storing it when you don't really need to. And not only that, by the way, there is the fragmentation that can happen. Because guess what? When I'm your friend, like one is a friend of two, and one is friend of three, and one is friend of four, right? And then two is friend of five, and two is friend of six, right? Then the data will be stored in a homogenized manner, right? This is how the data is stored. It's not like ordered or anything like that, right? So when you want to find my friends, like all the friends for the ID number one, not only you're going to do a read, you're going to get your friends, you're going to get others' friends, because the data is just stored randomly, right? There is no order to the actual table, right? So it's just stored this way. And as a result, you're going to have to, you know, look through a bunch of stuff that you don't want. And that's the cost. Comes back to the cost. You might say, I can cluster my table by the ID. This way, if I cluster by the friend ID, then if I cluster by ID, then all the data will be exactly ordered and organized in the disk in that manner. That obviously will be costly because inserts will be slightly slower, because now I have to find exactly where to insert the data, right? But that's effectively it. You can definitely build it, and you can add indexes to optimize the queries. Nothing wrong with that. You can do so many tricks. But the graph databases come into the picture to make that even better. So you can think about the things that you can build with the graph databases, right? First of all, you have to build a brand new graph storage so that it is optimized to store graph data. The graph data is usually very, very tiny, right? It's just the actual node IDs, you can store them in the traversal, and you can have the actual data about the nodes, like what is the node name, or I don't know if there is metadata associated with the node, you can put it some other place. So you can put a basic data structure for the storage of the graph itself, right? And how is it stored? And you can put another data structure to store the metadata about the nodes, you know, heavy stuff there, profile picture stuff. And not only that, I can see a lot of optimization that you can do at the indexes structure. Build a brand new index data structure that allows you to do not only breadth first, but also depth first index. So if you're doing depth first, go to this index. If you're doing breadth first, go to this index. And as a result, I can see why graph databases are being built. There are many of them. So definitely they are critical. So to summarize, I think it always comes down to your use case. I believe if you really know how the database works internally and what a single IO from disk gives you back, you can really optimize the heck out of every single costly IO, so that when it comes back, it got everything you need and you ask it for. So if you ask for the graph traversal, all the values that you got from the disk, you don't really need to do much processing. You are not forced to go back to disk to fetch more blocks to get the data, right? Obviously, most of the queries won't be satisfied with single I/O. That would be awesome if you can, right? But if you can't, then you can do multiple IOs, but the less IOs you do and the more data you get, all the data that you get is effectively exactly what you need. That is where what you want to build effectively. And that's really all what matters. The algorithms obviously plays a role at the application side. How do you process the data? But really the cost is just find exactly what I want, right? Without shuffling through millions and millions and millions of disk pages, right? And that's basically what it boils down to, if you think about it. I just wanted to kind of make this video, guys, for you to kind of see how I think, effectively, my thinking pattern, if you will. Because at the end of the day, when you listen and you hear these new terms, the first feeling we get is confusion and really frustration and being lost. It's like, okay, what is this graph database thing? But at the end of the day, once you understand how things are built, it's not really magical rocket science. Everything comes down to one and one only thing. Optimize the IOs. Make writes faster for these particular use cases, because there won't be a database that solves every single use case, right? Let me rephrase that. There won't be a single database that solves every single use case in an optimal manner, because any database can be solved to do anything. Will it be optimal is the question that you have to ask yourself. Sometimes even I wouldn't be surprised that people might have used a graph database to solve a graph use case, and that even might have turned out to be bad because the graph databases assumed certain use cases that this use case just doesn't cover, right? So I'll start researching graph databases when I get the time, and I'll keep you guys posted about my research. Thank you so much for listening and watching. See you in the next one. Goodbye.